how Saudi money keeps Washington at war in Yemen. The Saudi regime is using its ill-begotten wealth to fight a disastrous war in Yemen through the United States. Stay with us for an article that appeared on the Tom Dispatch website, written by Ben Freeman, Director of Foreign Influence Transparency Initiative at the US-based Center for International Policy. The title of the piece is How Saudi Money Keeps Washington at War in Yemen. It was May 2017. The Saudis were growing increasingly nervous. For more than 2 years, they had been relying heavily on US military support and bombs to defeat the popular Ansarullah movement of Yemen. Now the US Senate was considering a bipartisan resolution to cut off military aid and halt a big sale of US-made bombs to Saudi Arabia. Fortunately for them, despite mounting evidence that the US-backed supplied and fueled air campaign in Yemen was targeting civilians, the Saudi regime turned out to have just the weapon needed to keep those bombs and other kinds of aid coming their way. An army of lobbyists in Washington. That year, their forces in Washington included members of more than 24 lobbying and public relations firms. Key among them was Mark Lampkin, managing partner of the Washington office of Bronstein, Hyatt, Faber, Schreck, or BHFS, a company that will be paid nearly $500,000 by the Saudi regime in 2017. Records from the Foreign Agents Registration Act, or FARA, show that Mark Lampkin contacted Senate officers more than 20 times about that resolution, speaking, for instance, with the legislative director for Republican Senator Tim Scott on 16th of May 2017. Perhaps coincidentally, Mark Lampkin reported making a $2,000 contribution to the Senator's Political Action Committee that very day. On 13th of June, along with a majority of his fellow senators, Scott voted to allow the Saudis to get their bombs. A year later, the type of bomb authorized in that sale has reportedly been used in airstrikes that have killed civilians in Yemen. Little wonder that, for this and his other lobbying work, Mark Lampkin earned a spot on the Top Lobbyist 2017 Hired Guns list, compiled by the Washington publication The Hill. Mark Lampkin's story was anything but exceptional when it comes to lobbyists working on behalf of Saudi Arabia. It was, in fact, very much the norm. The Saudi government has hired lobbyists in profusion, and they, in turn, have effectively helped persuade members of Congress and the president to ignore blatant human rights violations and civilian casualties in Yemen. According to a forthcoming report by the Foreign Influence Transparency Initiative Program, which I direct at the Center for International Policy, registered foreign agents working on behalf of interests in Saudi Arabia contacted congressional representatives, the White House, the media, and figures at influential think tanks more than 2,500 times in 2017 alone. In the process, they also managed to contribute nearly $400,000 to the political coffers of senators and House of Representatives members as they urged them to support Saudi Arabia. Some of those contributions, like Mark Lampkin's, were given on the same day the requests were made to support those arms sales. The role of Mark Lampkin is just a tiny subplot in the expansive and ongoing story of Saudi money in Washington. Think of it as a striking tale of pay-to-play politics that will undoubtedly be revving up again in the coming weeks as the Saudi lobby works to block new congressional efforts to end US involvement in the disastrous war in Yemen. The roots of the lobby's rise to prominence in Washington lie in the aftermath of the terrorist attacks on 11th of September 2001. As readers may remember, with 15 of those 19 suicidal hijackers being citizens of Saudi Arabia, it was hardly surprising that American public opinion had soured on Saudi Arabia. In response, the worried Saudi royals spent around $100 million over the next decade to improve such public perceptions and retain their influence in the US capital, Washington. That lobbying facelift proved a success until, in 2015, relations soured with the administration of President Barack Obama over the Iran nuclear deal. Once Donald Trump won the presidency, however, the Saudis saw an unparalleled opportunity and launched the equivalent of a full-court press, an aggressive campaign to woo the newly elected president and the Republican-led Congress, which of course cost real money. As a result, the growth of Saudi lobbying operations proved extraordinary. In 2016, according to Farah Records, the Saudis reported spending just under $10 million on lobbying firms. By 2017, that number had nearly tripled to $27.3 million. And that's just a baseline figure for a far larger operation to buy influence in Washington, since it doesn't include considerable sums given to elite universities or think tanks like the Persian Gulf Arab States Institute, the Middle East Institute, and the Center for Strategic and International Studies, to mention just a few. This meteoric rise in spending allowed the Saudis to increase dramatically the number of lobbyists representing their interests on both sides of the aisle. Before President Donald Trump even took office, the Saudi government signed a deal with the McKeon Group, a lobbying firm headed by Howard Buck McKeon, the recently retired Republican chairman of the House Armed Services Committee. His firm also represents Lockheed Martin, one of the top providers of military equipment to Saudi Arabia. On the Democratic side, the Saudis inked a $140,000 per month deal with the Podesta Group, headed by Tony Podesta, whose brother, John Podesta, a longtime Democratic Party operative, was the former chairman of Hillary Clinton's presidential campaign. Tony Podesta later dissolved his firm and has allegedly been investigated by special counsel Robert Mueller for serving as an unregistered foreign agent. And keep in mind that all this new firepower was added on an already formidable arsenal of lobbying outfits and influential power brokers, including former Republican Senate Majority Leader Trent Lott, who, according to Lee Fang of The Intercept, was deeply involved in the Trump White House hiring process, and former Senator Norman Coleman, chairman of the pro-Republican Super PAC American Action Network. All told, during 2017, Saudi Arabia inked 45 different contracts with Farah registered firms and more than 100 individuals registered as Saudi foreign agents in the United States. They proved to be extremely busy. Such activity reveals a clear pattern. Saudi foreign agents are working tirelessly to shape perceptions of that country, its royals, its policies, and especially its grim war in Yemen, while simultaneously working to keep US weapons and military supplies flowing into Saudi Arabia. With the term foreign agent is often used as a synonym for lobbyist, part of the work performed by Saudi Arabia's paid representatives in the US resembles public relations activity far more than straightforward lobbying. For example, in 2017, Saudi foreign agents reported contacting media outlets more than 500 times, including significant outreach to national ones like the New York Times, the Washington Post, the Wall Street Journal, and the public broadcasting service PBS, which has aired multiple documentaries about Saudi Arabia. Also included, however, were smaller newspapers like the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette and more specialized outlets like ESPN in hopes of encouraging positive stories about Saudi Arabia. Saudi Arabia's image in the United States clearly concerned those agents. Still, the lion's share of their activity was focused on security issues of importance to that country's royals. For example, Saudi agents contacted officials at the State Department, which oversees most commercial arms transfers and sales, nearly 100 times in 2017, according to Farah filings. Above all, however, their focus was on U.S. Congress, especially members with seniority on key committees. As a result, at the same point between late 2016 and the end of 2017, Saudi lobbyists contracted more than 200 of them, including every single senator. The ones most often dealt with were, not surprisingly, those with the greatest leverage over U.S. relations with Saudi Arabia. For example, the office of Republican Senator Lindsey Graham, who sits on both the Appropriations and Armed Services Committees, was the most contacted, whilst that of Senator Chris Coons was the top Democratic one. Senator Chris Coons sits on the Appropriations and Foreign Relations Committees. Just as there is a clear pattern when it comes to contacting congressional representatives who might help their Saudi clients, so there's a clear pattern to the lobbying money flowing to the same members of Congress. The Farah documents that record all foreign agent political activity also list campaign contributions reported by those agents. Just as we did for political activists, the Foreign Influence Transparency Initiative program conducted an analysis of all campaign contributions reported in those 2017 filings by firms that represented Saudi interests. And here's what we found. More than a third of the members of Congress contacted by such a firm also received a campaign contribution from a foreign agent at that firm. In total, according to their 2017 Farah filings, foreign agents at firms representing Saudi clients made $390,496 in campaign contributions to congressional figures they or another agent at their firm contacted on behalf of their Saudi clients. This flow of money is best exemplified by the 11 separate occasions we uncovered in which a firm reported contacting a congressional representative on behalf of Saudi clients on the same day someone at the same firm made a campaign contribution to the same senator or to the same House member. In other words, there are 10 other cases just like Mark Lampkin's involving foreign agents at Squire Patton Boggs, DLA Piper, and Hogan Lovells. For instance, Hogan Lovells reported meeting with Republican Senator Bob Corker on behalf of the Royal Embassy of Saudi Arabia on 26 of April 2017. And that day, an agent at the firm made a $2,700 contribution to Bob Corker for U.S. Senate 2018. Corker would later decide not to seek re-election in 2018. While some might argue that contributions like these look a lot like bribery, they turn out to be perfectly legal. No law bars such an act, And whilst it's true that foreign nationals and foreign governments are prohibited from making contributions to political campaigns, there's a simple workaround for that, one that the Saudis obviously made use of big time. Any foreign power hoping to line the pockets of American politicians just has to hire a local lobbyist to do it for them. As Jimmy Williams, a former lobbyist, wrote, "Today, most lobbyists are engaged in a system of bribery, but it's the legal kind of bribery." Fast forward to late 2018, and the very same lobby is now fighting vigorously to defeat a House measure that would end US support for the Saudi war in Yemen. They're flooding congressional offices with their requests, in effect asking Congress to ignore the more than 10,000 civilians who have died in Yemen, the US bombs that have been the cause of many of those deaths, and a civil war that has led to a resurgence of Al-Qaeda in the Arabian Peninsula, or AQAP. They'll probably mention Secretary of State Mike Pompeo's recent certification that the Saudis are now supposedly taking the necessary steps to prevent more civilian casualties in Yemen. What they're not likely to mention is that his decision was reportedly driven by the head of the legislative affairs team at the US State Department, who just happens to be a former foreign agent with BGR Government Affairs. One of 35 FARA registrants working for Saudi Arabia at this moment. Such lobbyists and publicists are using the deep pockets of the Saudi royals to spread their propaganda, highlighting the charitable work that the government is doing in Yemen. What they will fail to emphasize, of course, are the Saudi blockade of the country and the American-backed armed and fueled airstrikes that are killing civilians at weddings, funerals, school bus trips, and other civilian events by their thousands. All of this is, in addition, helping to create a grotesque famine in Yemen, a potential disaster for the most extreme sort, and the very reason such humanitarian assistance is needed. In the end, even if the facts aren't on their side, the dollars are. Since September of 2001, that reality has proved remarkably convincing in Washington, as copious dollars flowed from Saudi Arabia to US military contractors who are making billions of dollars selling weapons to that country, to lobbying firms, and via those firms directly into congressional coffers. Is this really how US foreign policy should be determined?